May 24, 2017. Joe Crummy, welcome to my evil thoughts. I love May, by the way. I just want to mention that to you, my favorite month. All right, coming up on the show today. He told us his favorite month. Yeah, he did. Coming up on the show today, first of all, the president is on the final leg of his road trip. We'll talk about that. The media, of course, has been missing the point all week. They're more interested in, you know, making sure they get him arrested as soon as he gets off the plane when he lands. That's kind of funny. It's kind of like, well, he's out of town. You know, it's like they're ready to go. I mean, they want this guy arrested as soon as Air Force One lands, which I'm assuming is a couple days from now. Anyway, that's coming up on the show today. Just cracking myself up. I'm sorry. A update from Manchester. Some audio I want to play you on the terrorism attack and give you some updates. As a matter of fact, the breaking story right now, let me give you that, is they've also arrested this guy's brother who is in Libya, and they've charged this guy. His name is, do we have to mention the names? And I will if I have to. Salim Abidi. Salam Abidi was the suicide bomber. We don't have to worry about him anymore, but I think he caused enough trouble while he was around. But he did have a brother, and still does, and his name is Hashem, I think. By the way, the father's name, I swear to God, Ramadan. These guys are into it, you know, whatever that means. But, the dad is Ramadan. And it's funny, there's nobody Muhammad. Usually there's got to be a Muhammad in there somewhere. That's the world's most populous name, you know that? Anyway, so they've arrested the brother who lives in Tripoli or somewhere in, Libya, because that's the family's originally from Libya, and they had migrated to somewhere in Britain where this suicide bomber had been born. So he had been born in Britain, but his parents had come from Libya. I don't think they liked Gaddafi. I can't blame them for that. But that was back in early 90s or something. Now, I think the parents are back in Libya now, because it's such a nice place. You know, I'm sure it's really under control. But anyway, so that's the update on that, on the terror thing. Let me finish up on that as long as we're talking about it. Here's some audio from the BBC that I might as well play you as we get the evil thoughts started. And it's basically, it's airing on MSNBC. I think it's yesterday. And it's somebody maybe from the BBC who's talking about the terror attack. And what they're saying is really, really sad. So let's listen.
News that we're getting from the Manchester police this morning, the statements that they're putting out of mothers that they found who are still looking for their daughters and daughters that they found who are still looking for their mothers.
It sounds like this is yesterday's audio, but still it's important to listen to.
They can't find the rest of their families. And I think that's what is making Europe is getting used to attacks like this, Mika. We have to because we are never going to be able to totally wipe this out. As ISIS gets squeezed in Syria and Iraq, we're going to see more of these kinds of attacks taking place in Europe, and Europe is starting to get used to that.
What? This is what I want to talk about.
None of us are used to having children targeted in this way, no. Young girls targeted in this way.
Caddy, thank you.
No, thank you both, ladies. I appreciate that. Wow, what the hell's that? You know, we just have to get used to it. First of all, that grinds my gears right there. What? Why do we have to get used to it? I don't want to get used to it. What? And then, and they're outraged. Like, we just have to get used to it. This is just the way the world is. And then, though, she goes on, the reporter, to say that weird thing that, of course, none of us are used to babies being slaughtered. That's not exactly what she said. None of us are used to young girls being slaughtered, right? The 10-year-old crowd to the 25, some of the people that would like this Ariana Grande. But there were moms there, too, as well, and all of that. But so the reporters say, well, this was particularly, we're not used to it. But she's saying, we're going to have to get used to it. And then once we get used to that, what's the next outrage? Where they walk to your baby in the crib and just cut his head off? Now you have to get used to that, too? I don't want to get used to any of this stuff, ladies. I'm sorry. That's why evil Trump is running around the world. Let's transition to that now. Trump it has basically done a religious hat trick, which I kind of like. I mean, he starts with the Muslims and does whatever they do, tries to, speak with them. And we've been over his message to Saudi, which I thought was genius. And I don't think there's anybody better than Trump. And they know it, too, because they respect his business acumen. And they're looking at him, okay. This is great stuff. I mean, of course, doesn't say anything. But, he's meet with the Muslims. Then he meets with the Jews. This anti-Semite, evil Trump meeting with the Jews. And his best buddy Which is cracking me up is Prime Minister Netanyahu, who last time I checked was kind of a, you know, I'm not sound pejorative here, but he's kind of an important Jew, you know, sort of. Well, don't you think so? I know he's a right winger and everything, but he's Jewish. He seems to like evil Trump, you know, but it doesn't stop people from all the insinuations that Trump is somehow evil and bad. And anyway, so Trump hangs with the Jews, you know, and does that. Then he goes and flies after meeting with the Palestinians. We don't hear too much about that. Then he goes and he meets with the Pope earlier today, and he's already gone, and he's in Belgium because he's going to meet with the NATO people. We'll get to that in just a second because that's about money. And then he'll go on to see the G7 people, and that's about money, too. On the NATO thing, the money I'm talking about is that under the agreement, and I think Trump said this during the campaign, too, that everybody has to put up, I think, under the agreement, 2% of their national budget. And a lot of these countries haven't been paying their fair share. And I read today that the U.S., hey, you and me, we put up 4% of our, what, $18 trillion economy? I guess it's not the economy. You know, what do they base it on, the GDP of the country? But anyway, it's 2%. Maybe it's just the budget. Whatever. Even so, 4% of whatever we spend is ridiculous. You know, seriously. You know, what is the federal budget every year? I'm not talking about the deficit. I'm not talking about the long-term debt. What is it? Is it? I should look this up. Is it 10 trillion? I don't even know. I should look it up. Anyway, Trump's the man to talk about money, and he says to the NATO people, look, you need to pay up. And apparently, that's exactly what's happening. You know, there's nobody better than Trump to do this. So I'm happy to see evil Trump. But again, as soon as Air Force One lands, I'm sure CNN is going to, and Rachel Maddow is going to probably be there too to lead the cops to have them arrested. Anderson Cooper looking on, but I think he's going to defer to Rachel Maddow, right? Because she's number one. So I think she'll be, you know, she'll be doing it. Who else is going to be there? Well, the whole crew from CNN will be there. And I would think I'm digressing. You know, one story that I did talk about earlier this week that I think is fascinating, and we ought to talk about it. Some people are aware of this guy, Seth Rich. I want to spend a couple minutes on this because I think this is really interesting. Seth Rich, as you may know, you may have heard the name lately, like, yeah, who's this guy, Seth Rich? Excuse me. It was murdered in Washington last summer. He used to work for the Democratic Party. He was just one of these staffer guys, okay? And there has been this big conspiracy that he had been killed because he had leaked this damaging inside the Democratic Party emails, say like the Hillary Clinton emails and all this kind of stuff, that he had leaked that stuff to WikiLeaks, that he was the leak and not the Russians through WikiLeaks. It wasn't even the Russians, you know, it was really the Democratic Party. And this guy, Seth Rich, did it because he was disgusted, you know, with how the Democratic Party works. By the way, this conspiracy theory sounds great because, you know, the Democratic Party really does suck. You know, so it's like, okay, that part's believable. It just is. You know, look what they did to Bernie and all this kind of stuff. I mean, everybody knew the fix was in. Look at Donna Brazile, you know, who would hand the questions to Hillary, who was going to be interviewed the next night at a town hall on CNN, and she would give the question. And then I remember watching it, you know, and then, of course, Hillary's in on it, too. She just pretends like it's just out of left field, and she knows damn well it's been given to her. You know, these guys are great. This is how they operate. Anyway, so this is one reason why this conspiracy theory feels so right. But it gets much better than this. The Rich family says this did not happen. Our son was not murdered because somebody at the DNC found out about it, that he had leaked 13,000 documents and attachments and all this kind of stuff. There was nothing to it. The murder was just a murder. It was supposed to be a robbery, but it was a botched robbery. And, of course, people go, well, if they were going to rob him, how come they didn't take anything? It's a political hit. I said this, if it was a political hit, wouldn't they make it look like a robbery? Right? If I'm going to kill somebody for political purposes, I may try to make it look like a street crime. I don't know. Like, you know, just say it. But anyway, so this conspiracy gets going. And then you have an investigator. How much time do we have? Yeah, let me keep going, because I think there's a really good point here. And I want to turn you on to this guy called Kim.com, too. He's a really interesting figure. So what was I forget where I was. But anyway, so you have the family saying this is not true. You had a private investigator who said, here's what I wanted to say, that he'd been told that Seth Rich had given his files, that he had done it. And he knew it. And he had, knowledge of this. And then he was supposedly interviewed by, oddly enough, CNN. And then when he said to went to them, he said, oh, no, I didn't really say that. I just said that because some guy I was talking to at FoxNews.com said it. That's why I said it. You know? And it's like, okay. So the whole thing about that he had given these files to WikiLeaks, that's all out the window now? Okay, well, that's cool. Then you get this guy, Kim.com. Now, this guy is right out of a James Bond movie. This guy's great. He lives in New Zealand. I think he's wanted in the United States for racketeering or some kind of, whatever. He's this internet guy. He is, his name is Kim Schmidt or something like that, but he calls himself Kim.com. He made a pantload of money on this thing called, this app called Mega Upload, I think a couple of years ago. If you wanted to upload like really big files, maybe say like a file of maybe, I don't know, the latest Disney movie or something like that. Apparently, he must have pissed off some people, but he was down in, still is in New Zealand, a place, I mean, I swear to God, it looks like it's out of a Bond movie where he lives, and he looks like he could be like the villain kind of a guy. Supposedly this week, his website was pinging. See if you can follow me on this. Supposedly, Kim.com, literally, maybe that's what it is too, was pinging Seth Rich's old Gmail account. Apparently, there was some kind of a way, and I'm not sure how this works. They were hoping that they would respond to the attachment. The family said they saw it and did not click on it. But apparently this guy, Kim.com, wants in on this. Now, he is saying that he has the information, but he's just waiting for his attorneys to tell him yes. And, of course, we haven't heard yes out of him yet. But they're saying now that Kim.com just wanted in on this controversy because he, look at all the press he gets, because he wants to be somebody. He's some big mover and a shaker. And that he was actually trying to trick Seth Rich's family, who must have access to his Gmail account, somehow to open an application or open something that would allow this is weird, man, but that would allow this Kim.com guy, who's kind of an internet raconteur guy, he calls himself a hacker too, that would allow him to get into Seth Rich's email, then create all this, an email chain through him so he could promote himself and say, yes, I was right, that I was involved in this and I knew about it and I'm a big shot and now I'm selling this, or now I'm like the new Kardashians, except I'm a fat guy, but I'm on the net, and I'm somebody. Now, he just wants to use this, too. I mean, the whole thing is weird. It doesn't mean it's not true, by the way, but I'm just saying what I find interesting about it is the media that criticized this story, and yet they turn around, and I've already made this point, but they have no problem, again, arresting Trump at the airport, so to speak. I mean, they have been on Trump on this Russia thing. I know I sound like a broken record, repeating the same stuff over and over again. But it's interesting that they look at this Seth Rich story and they go, oh, how can you talk with that innuendo and and all that stuff. And I'm thinking, oh, it's easy to do. I watch you guys do it every day. That's why I'm bringing this up. The hypocrisy just cracks me up. Oh, well, that story's low rent. That's nothing. We're journalists. These guys, I just love this. The freaking media. I get the feeling that, I don't know, maybe it's just I'm guilty or something. I have the innate sense of guilt that Trump is out of town. This is what I think, just for fun. And the media really hates it because they got to play video of Trump meeting the Pope. He has all these things he has to do, and it's one meeting after another, then the G7, that's how they're going to wrap that up, and that he's meeting with so-and-so. And it's almost like, while you're out of town, they're basically, again, they're lighting the torches and getting ready to surround the plane when it lands, and it's going to be hell to pay. As soon as he steps down, on U.S. soil, bang, they're going to be really on him. I mean, they're... That's what I think is coming. Circulating stories from unnamed sources about Comey being uncomfortable around Trump, and as though that's obstruction. Somehow Trump is creepy. I think they're really upset. He's with the Pope. He's safe again today. But when he gets home, it's like, get back in this house, mister. Where do you think you're going? That's what's going on. Hey, today's Evil Thoughts shout out goes to Dave Faulkner from Phoenix. Dave used to listen to me. It was either on KFYI or KTAR, both great stations in Phoenix. Had a great time there. Dave, it's great to have you spreading Joe's evil thoughts all around Maricopa County. Dave just wanted to know, when are we going to play some more guitar on the show? And he was suggesting Joe Crummy After Dark on the weekends would be a great place for that. I think you're right. All right, so thank you very much, Dave, and to you, too. I want you to subscribe to the podcast, all right? Tell your friends about the podcast. Spread the word about Joe's evil thoughts. And rate this podcast on iTunes, too. I'm giving you a lot of instructions here. Just pick one and do it, okay? Very good. All right, follow me on Facebook and Twitter as Joe Crummy and on Instagram as Crummy Joe. That's today's evil thoughts. There's always more coming tomorrow. Now, turn it up.